And thanks for tuning in to episode 125 of your Overseas Connection. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. And today is July 19th, 2011. And we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And we're mixing it up a little bit this week. So not a regular cast. We've got a returning favorite, Mr. Richard Webster.
Good evening, chaps. It's Big Bad Daddy here. Thought I'd just come and give us a nice treat in the ear.
Well, Rich, it is rather proper that we have you here for this episode, given the topic at hand is really going to be much about indie games. So I thought it really was kind of fitting that you were coming back to the show this week.
Is that because indie games are usually craply made, you know, diabolically horrible, cheap versions of proper games?
Possibly, but I really kind of just was like, you know, you support indie games a lot. You know, that was my first thought. But sure, I'll go with the crappy game part.
I went to an indie game rally, actually, in London the other week. You know, there was thousands and thousands of people there, you know, in London. There was only two people doing the protest, but... Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's good to be here.
Good. Having me. Good. We are happy to have you here. All right, next up on the docket, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Mark Annex on Xbox Live and PSN, also Twitter and Google Plus. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Google Plus. Yes, I got your invite. We'll be circle of friends soon enough, I suppose. And last but not least, he certainly has been here for almost every show. Almost, I say. Mr. Christopher Matthew.
I have to ask the question, Greg. You said we don't have a regular cast, but when do we ever really have normal was the word you used.
True.
Normal. Yeah, no. I don't think we ever really have a normal cast, but that's beside the point. Hello, everyone. CPM1376 on Xbox Live. CP Matthew everywhere else, except, of course, Twitter, where it is OC_CP Matthew.
Yeah. Rumor has it, by the way, that I might be making the Twitter adjustment myself.
Well, you ought to.
Yeah, I might just have to go that OC route.
It's about time.
Pretty much.
Rumor has it Twitter's quite popular these days as well.
Yeah, I've heard. The rumors are true. It definitely
I have a friend popular. Who's in a business school, and he said that Twitter's worth about $4 billion. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Probably going to be bought by Microsoft next. Probably not.
Good for them, I say.
Well, we've got the introductions out of the way. I suppose we should address the issue of Mike Chinn not being here, nor Richard Primrose being here. There are a lot of rumors circulating about what they're doing. You know, often we just give the traditional, they're off doing British things because, you know, that's what the British do. But no. In fact, we have heard that Richard Primrose is assisting Mike in his next film. And Mike's next film, of course, he has this theme of goats in all of his films. Some animal rights activists have criticized him openly for what he does with the goats. But he's
one of them.
Yeah. He's introducing a new theme this time, goats and llamas. We're not sure yet if this is going to be a Spanish-only title, as the other titles have been, or if this is going to be a full English version. But we eagerly await it, and Richard Primrose is off in the hills looking for goats. He's having a hard time finding the llamas. I don't think they're terribly popular in the UK. I could be wrong on that. You guys will have to correct me.
I think they were indigenous to Ireland.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. And there's other equal rumors going around about him painting the goats blue and wanting to start up a Smurf herding movie, but we don't really know much about that at this point. All the shenanigans out of the way, I think really we should just start talking about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing... God, I don't know where to start. I guess, Rich, you have been off the show the longest, so why don't we start with you?
Okay, if that's what you decide. Been playing quite a bit, bits and pieces, really.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been anything new that's come out since I was last on, apart from L.A. Noire, which obviously is awesome. I've only been playing it in bits, though, because there's no real replay value, so I don't want to, you know, blow my load in the first couple of minutes. I want to sort of spread out a bit, maybe relax, pull out and do something else for a bit, and then carry on.
It's a famous technique, yes. Just pull out for a bit, pull relax, out, make a sandwich. Sure. Sandwich is always a good call, by the way. That goes over well.
Yes.
Okay, so L.A. Noire, I see maybe a little bit of a Mass Effect 2, kind of Oblivion Morrowind, just kind of going old school.
Yeah, well, Mass Effect 3 is around the corner, and there was a few things I didn't get to do, like Shag Miranda in Mass Effect 2. So going through that, I went with Tali, Zora, Vasnima. In the first time I played it, which was weird because like we had to get some special medicine because she gets sick when you take off a mask and stuff. God knows what happened when I put my dick in her. But anyway, that's another story for another time. Yeah, so I've been going through that again, and I'll probably go through it another time as well because I really, really, really want to do bastard stuff like shoot people when they're mid conversation and push that guy out the window. So I might even play it again before the third one comes just to try it.
Go
out.
Evil, huh?
Yeah, anyone here do evil shit on Mass Effect?
You know, I did some evil stuff on Mass Effect 2, but it wasn't really on purpose. Because, I mean, even though the way they kind of laid out the options, it wasn't always clear-cut you were going to react exactly, you know, in a evil way. It was just more kind of like a strong stance versus maybe a more agreeable or passive stance. And I know there's a couple times where I ended up just, like, shooting somebody, and I was just like, okay, didn't see that coming.
That's like the first time on Red Dead Redemption where you pull the trigger but you're right close to them, so you end up just cocking the shotgun up in his face and smacking him with his brains on the wall. First time I did that, I was like, wow. So yeah, I've been playing through that because I'm looking forward to number 3. I'm hoping that they remove perhaps the mining of planets but bring back going, being able to land on more planets, because I missed that from Mass Effect 1, because you could land on so many different planets. I know it was a bit boring, but
right.
You couldn't really land on that many in number 2.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to kind of stick with a bit of the formula from 2. I wasn't terribly happy to hear about it, but I believe they were saying that they're going to keep the, in a sense, kind of the scavenger hunt side of it there. You know, the mining of the planets, they're going to tweak it, of course, and try and make it a little more user-friendly, but I don't know. It was definitely a kind of the worst part of the game, if you ask me.
They seem to be streamlining it, don't they? And it makes me think that maybe in number 3, when you set your probe scanner up ready to probe the planet, rather than having to move around the planet, all you'll do is just shoot one probe and it'll just absorb everything. Like I'm, you know...
I actually would be really happy with that solution. I mean, if I just came to the planet and I could hit a button to say scan it, and it would scan it, and then I had the option to land or not, I would be way happy with that versus the scanning up and down, and that stupid side quest stuff of scanning the planets drove me nuts.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Especially when it was really slow. The patch came out, didn't it, that made it really fast?
Did it really make it that much faster? Because, it made it faster, but it didn't feel like it made it that much faster. It still was a pain in the ass.
I got the upgrade, though, with the assassin fella. He gives you an upgrade to make it even faster. So it's like super speed now.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about something else other than Mass Effect 2.
Okay, well, as everyone knows, the world is ending on 11/11/11. But not before Skyrim comes out. Skyrim is coming out. The fan interview was released a couple of weeks ago. Does anybody follow the Skyrim fan stuff?
I can't say I follow the Skyrim fan stuff, no.
No? Well, they released a fan interview for the fans, basically, a couple of months ago or whatever. Maybe a month or two. They released, like, a little thing on the forum saying that if you post here a question, we'll answer it in, like, a fan interview.
Okay.
So they had, like, Pete Hines. I think his name's Pete Hines. Todd Howard and all them stuff. So they had like they explained a lot of the things that weren't in the E3 interview and stuff, and just some special things. Like for example, the Karas and the Greaves are mixed together now. as one. So they're not separate.
Right, right.
What else is there?
It seemed like they were streamlining things to a degree, but it wasn't going to be something that would be... Like, I mean, even though they were streamlining the armor pieces and kind of condensing that down, they were actually adding in the ability to craft your own armor.
Yeah, you can add to it, and I don't know if you can create your own armor from scratch. I think you might be able to, because you could in Oblivion anyway with Shivering Isles, but definitely you can, because the blacksmith has got a forge,
right,
an anvil, and something else. So you can forge your own armor, you can make your own weapons, and you can do something else as well. I can't remember what it was. That might be to do with repairing, but basically anything armor. It's not just like pick a hammer up in the field and like repair your armor and stuff. You can actually use the stuff in the blacksmith's place. There's a few other things as well that are quite important. I'll just go through them dead quick. I don't want to take up all the time with Skyrim because no one cares except me. I've got a stiffy now. But basically, they've streamlined it so that COD heads can get into it easier, basically. So at the start of the game, you don't pick your class and choose what sort of major skills you want and what your minor skills are and what attributes you want. All that's gone. And basically, you just decide whether you want to be a warrior, a mage, or a thief, you know, in your own mind, and play like that. And the more you play, depending on what sort of skills you... You know, they go up. Like in right. Oblivion, you know, if you use your sword a lot, your blade goes up.
Right, right.
But that's... So basically, instead of choosing a class, you become the class over time. So say you play for an hour. Because in Oblivion, the problem was you picked your class and then you play for an hour and you realize, shit, you know, I've picked this skill, but I'm not actually going to use it. It's shit. Or you think, shit, I should have picked that other skill. I like heavy armor, but I didn't pick it. Well, now it just sort of evolves as you play, so you don't... That's sort of gone. Stats and weapons and stuff, all that's kind of taken out, so the inventory is a bit cleaner, but the stats and all that are still there. So for RPG lovers like us, who like our stats and stuff, they're still there, they're just sort of hidden a bit, so it's easier to follow, basically, for newbies, or like they said, Call of Duty players is the main thing. They wanted to hook in more Call of Duty players, because as you know, COD, Black Ops and stuff, it is an RPG now, it's basically online, isn't it?
It definitely has RPG elements to it, that is for sure. Although, if they're anything like Mike Chin, the mention of swords and elves will immediately turn them off, so...
Yes.
Yeah, but, exactly. You know, I'm excited for Skyrim, so...
Yeah.
I mean, the changes seem like they're good.
Yeah, they're all right. There's loads of other things, but anyone with an index finger and the internet can find out all the rest. So I'll leave you to go hunting.
Also, internet,
lots of battlefields.
Do your own damn searching. That's what we have to say here.
What if they don't have an index finger, Rich? What if you just insulted someone who had a finger chopped off in a horrible manufacturing?
Thumbs and pinkies and all else fails, Chris, your nose.
The nose knows.
I think I was speaking metaphorically. Even if you had no fingers, you could still use some part of your body. We won't go there.
We're going to avoid that.
I'll get the indie games out of the way. I've been playing a lot of Fortress Craft and Total Miner Forge as well.
Okay.
Fortress Craft recently had an update that added a couple of extra blocks, a black one and a white one. Trestles, I think they're called, or something. And a few other bits and pieces. The fella's updating it on and stuff. But Total Miner Forge is quite impressive. I heard about it on the Veteran Gamers forums, on the podcast. And then I was playing Fortress Craft, and I got a message off Duke saying, have you tried Total Miner? And then I got a message off Stu saying, you know, you've tried this game. So I tried it, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It is.
I wonder how these indie developers, you know, are feeling about the fact that Minecraft is coming to Xbox Live Arcade proper. I mean, it's going to really be pushed hard. I wonder if they're concerned about that, or if they're actually excited for that because it may even give them more kind of spotlight and fans saying, oh, maybe I should check this game out too.
Well, to be honest, I think they haven't really... The only thing they've got to worry about is the name. You know, Minecraft, everyone knows it. Because the 360 can only do so much technology-wise. You know, in order to run Minecraft really
well... Here we go. Mr. PC snob. No, I hear it on the... It's already coming. Yeah.
I'm not an elitist. I just know I'm better than you. No, basically, it takes a lot to run Minecraft. When you talk massive, mega structures and things, and when you've got loads of people in co-op, and 360 will struggle to do that, so... it's not going to be an exact port. People are going to think, oh, it's going to be the exact, it's not going to be exact same thing. You're not going to be able to have, you know, your own servers and all that kind of business. You know, it's just going to be a sort of most, well, I hate the word, streamlined. But I think that the indie developers are thinking, they're obviously going to get trumped on when Minecraft comes out, but these are just grabbing onto money now while they can.
Sure.
Till then.
Alright.
And it works because it is really good. Total Miner Forge, it's fantastic. It's not easy, you know, like, you'll use the help, because you've got to use the help in the game, because the game doesn't sort of tell you. You've got to go into the options and sort of look at the little help. And you'll learn how to make an axe, and you'll be like, yeah, I've just made an axe. So then you'll start digging into the ground, and you're like, yeah, I'm digging here. And then you'll go down a few layers, and you'll find coal. And you're like, yeah, coal, and then your axe will break. And you'll have nothing to make another one with, and you'll be stuck down the bottom, and you'll think, shit, you know, I'm fucked. So you need to go back up and stuff and start again. So it's a bit of a learning curve, but it's really good. And it's more about going down. You know, like thousands of miles down, basically.
Rich, it's always about going down. Remember that.
That's what it's always about.
It always comes back to it. All right, Rich, we're going to move off of you, unless there is something else that you wanted to mention there. Otherwise, I'm going to shift gears.
Just the Battlefield 3 will not look like it does in the videos on 360 and PlayStation. I'm just letting everyone know that it's not going to look like that. It won't look as good. Because what we saw at E3, it's running on a GTX 580.
Yeah, by the way, thank you for that, Mr. Matthew. No, it is Chris.
Really? I'm snoring because yes. Rich has bored me to death with his PC nonsense.
I know. We know. We get it. It's not going to look as good. I don't know. I don't think we need to beat this one to death. It has been beaten up to death in the forums across the interwebs. Battlefield 3... PC players have made it infinitely clear the superior version, the version to get if you can run it, will be on PC.
And it's only because the new cards with new technology, DirectX 11 came up with tessellation and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've all seen pictures of what Crysis 2 looks like now
than
what it did a month ago. But it'll still look fantastic, and I'm going to get it on PC and 360 so I can play with my friends. Because on PC you got no friends. You just play with millions of strangers.
That's true. It is
especially on Battlefield, like 64 people that you'll never speak to again.
It's like life, walking down the street. All right, sure. Mark Canix, and I was trying to do the shifting gears on purpose. I mean, that was like my perfect lead in, and then you know, Rich came up with this Battlefield 3 nonsense. So talk to us. Looks like a few racing games going on there.
Yeah, talking of shifting gears, been doing quite a bit of Dirt 3 last weekend. We had a play date on Saturday. And there was also like an impromptu one on Sunday, so we had a lot of Dirt 3 fun. There was also a Forza 3 Play Vault play date on Sunday, which I joined in on. That was great. And thanks, Rich, for spoiling Mass Effect 2, because I've just finished Mass Effect 1 and started Mass Effect 2.
Well, you know what?
Did I?
It's 2007, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know what, Mark Yannix, as much as I love you and I wouldn't want to spoil the game for you, you also kind of have to own up to the fact that this game now is, what, 2 years old, at least, so.
Did I honestly spoil it? I don't think I did. I only said about Shaggy Miranda, and that's going to be a nice surprise there, Mark.
Yeah.
Wait, Shag Rex. That's gruesome.
Oh, that fucking bitch friggin' Ashley shot him.
Now, see?
And I found out later I had to build up my charm, and that had stopped it, but I didn't know at the time. So, on the second playthrough, she won't be shooting him. Because I like Rex.
See, that's what I love about Mass Effect, though. I mean, you know, everybody gets different experiences based on what you do in the game.
Yeah. I saw it cheap, brand new. It was a classic edition as well, so it came with the extra DLC as well. Mass Effect 2 was cheap, so I'd heard a lot of bad reports about Mass Effect not being that good, and my son rented it and he didn't like it, but I thought I'd give it a go, and I was absolutely sucked into the story. I've never had a game get me so engrossed in a story. It was absolutely fantastic and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started Mass Effect 2 straight away as soon as I finished it. I've not got far into Mass Effect 2. I've just got the new Normandy 2, and I've just sort of like started my first couple of recruitment missions. But yeah, it's fantastic and I love it.
Yeah, it is fantastic. I'll give you a big tip, Mark. Do the loyalty missions. You'll know what I mean when you come to it. But do them all.
Yeah,
it'll really help.
Yeah,
so don't feel rushed as well. The game will keep telling you, you know, the universe is coming to an end. We don't have time to sit here and talk about it. Let's go.
I did that in Mass Effect 1. I actually completed the main story in about 13 hours. And then Chris was telling me it took him 60 because he did all the side missions.
Yeah.
I didn't do that many side missions, which I'll do when I replay it again later. But Mass Effect 2, I am going to take my time with. Because of them two, I've pre-ordered Mass Effect 3 now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and then Saturday night, sort of like back end of our Dirt 3 session, was just me and David the Alien left. And in pops Mr. CP Matthew, and in his military-type voice says, you will come play the dead with me, or you will be getting the hand grenade thrown at you, or worse to that effect. So we went off and did a bit of Red Dead, and that was a lot of fun as well.
Sometimes you just have to be assertive, you know.
You know, that is, Chris, you do have a way about that. I've been noticing that lately. Chris jumps on and I get this message, play game now. It's like, okay, I guess I'm playing.
No, the one for Greg was even better. I just sent him a one-word message. It was just, he immediately knew that meant you're coming to play Trenched now and there's no options.
Yes.
You can't say no to a major, can you?
No, that or the threat of a brown papered package coming to your doorstep.
Yeah, he's he can't throw grenades at squad people anymore. Kind of his squad cadets, so he's got to throw them at us now.
That's right. I don't have those guys anymore. It's back to the classroom for me.
That's it for me.
Okay, excellent. And I guess, Chris, you and I share quite a few games in common this week, and it probably has everything to do with that short little ahem message.
Yeah. So are you up or am I up?
Why don't you go first? I don't want grenades.
It wasn't very clear. I wasn't sure what you were talking about. Sorry. Yeah, so I've been playing Torchlight, which I'm almost finished with. As I mentioned last week, getting to the last level of fame is kind of slow going, but it's moving along. I'm at 720 out of 756,000 points that I got to get. So almost, it seems like there's a long way to go, but you get about 8,000 for every boss monster once you get down to the bonus dungeon. I'm kidding, right? Yes. You totally desynchronized me just then. I'm sorry.
I have a way of doing that, Chris. I do.
Yeah. I played a little bit of Trenched with Greg to help him finish up some gold medals, and I believe you are now done with that.
Yes.
Well done, sir.
Yes, I 100%ed that this morning.
We played a little bit of Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, which was good comedy because I was trying to get the achievement for catching the dude over a death ball. and turns out we both already had it.
Yes.
I was like, why isn't this working? And I must have died like six times trying to push different buttons. And then, oh, we already got it. Well, anyway.
Chris just kept jumping off the side of the ledge, and I was trying to, you know, shoot my grapple hook to catch him. And I was catching him, but then he would reach the edge, and he would just fall. And we couldn't for the life of us figure out why. And I think it had to do with, Chris, I think you were pushing a button once you grappled or were grappled.
Yeah, I was pushing the grapple button as well, which apparently releases the grapple.
Yes.
I wasn't aware of this. So
yeah. But all said and done, Lara Croft, Guardian of Light is surprisingly great co-op. I hadn't played a co-op before, and this is the first time I played a co-op, and it seems like the game was really designed with co-op in mind.
Yeah, that's the first time I've had a chance to play it co-op as well, and it is a much more interesting game in co-op. Because, you know, there were the parts where you have to, you know, the one dude has to throw the spear so that she can jump on it and then jump up to the next level, and you know, when you're playing it solo, she has the spear, so you throw your own spear and go jump on it. It's like, okay, there's none of that real teamwork that goes on. So it was much more interesting in co-op. I was pretty impressed.
I thought one of the best experiences in that regard was when we figured out how to use the grapple as a rope bridge. So I shot the grapple across, held the grapple in place, and then Chris jumps on there and walks across the rope bridge. Now, granted, the first time I let the rope bridge go halfway.
Yes, you did, smarty pants.
But, yeah.
Drop me into a pit of spikes, I tell you what.
It sounds like me and David when we did Portal 2 caught when I let the light bridge go and he fell to his death.
It has to be done, Mark, doesn't it?
At least one achievement for it.
There you go.
Well, if you get an achievement for it, then that just makes it all better.
But yeah, no, Lara Croft Guardian of Light, it is definitely a game worth looking at if you haven't seen it before. I would definitely put it up on the recommendation list. So, sorry, Chris, yep. I derailed you. Continue on, my friend.
So, you did say that we had a lot of games in common, right? So we're just talking about it. Let's see, finishing up my list. I decided to get back into Fallout New Vegas and try to go back and finish that one up because I had a lot of – I had only done two of the four possible endings, and so now I'm going back and try – I did one – now I've done three of the four because I finished one up yesterday. So I've got one more of the possible endings to go and then probably try to clean up some achievements before I head into DLC of it and try to finish it up. So I like that game. It was good to put it down for a while because I played it a lot when it first came out. And putting it down for a while seems more fresh when I pick it up, so much so that when I picked it up yesterday, I really had no idea what I was doing. I can't remember. I think I was talking to Henson 2003 at the time, and I'd forgotten what the controls were. I didn't know where I was in the story or what I was supposed to be doing. I literally spent just an hour running around talking to people, trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing. But I've been enjoying it. And the reason I went back to Fallout New Vegas is because I've completed L.A. Noire and Red Dead Redemption to 100% now and put those into the done pile. So with those being done, I needed something else to finish, and that was Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
100% of Red Dead makes you feel proud, doesn't it?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it is a lot of achievements.
Does it make you feel proud, or does it depress you a little bit that you spent that much time?
Yeah, a little bit of
both. I don't think I spent enough time. 100% isn't enough time in that game.
It's kind of happy and kind of sad. Yeah, but no, yeah, Red Dead, getting that one to 100% was pretty cool, especially the some of the marksmanship challenges in the zombie nightmare were challenging.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed playing that because I've not played it for ages. And then when we played it the weekend, I really, really enjoyed it. It's surprising how good that game is and how it sucks you back in.
Yeah. Well, I did leave one off the list. I played some Grand Theft Auto 4 with Lothian, whose name is Andrew, and his friend Scott, whose gamer tag is Ender, and a collection of numbers that I've forgotten. And that game has not aged well. We were riding around in a helicopter, and I was like, wow, this looks bad.
Really?
So, I see. Yeah.
That's one of those games I vowed to finish this summer, so I am now going to have to fire it up. And
well, it's just compared to, you know, I mean, the game's, what, 4 years old now?
Is that old? So, jeez Louise, yeah, I guess so.
Compared to Red Dead Redemption and L.A. Noire, you know, it just looks old.
Man.
So we still had fun.
Well, how can you not have fun flying around a helicopter?
Yeah. And the two of them had never really played the multiplayer before. So one guy especially had just bought the game like the day before. So he's like, oh, look, I found a Ferrari. And he comes driving up in it. And I had just found an RPG. And I was like, well, here's what I think of your Ferrari. You know, that was good fun. Then Andrew came up with a helicopter. I was like, here's what I think of your helicopter. So.
Awesome.
And then it degenerated into us shooting each other, which it always does.
Tell them that story about your helicopter where you forgot the buttons and you pressed a certain button.
Oh, yeah. So when I first got in the game with them, I was in the helicopter, and I was trying to figure out what the button was to switch weapons. And in every game, it's Y to switch weapons, right?
Not in Grand Theft Auto.
Not in Grand Theft Auto. No, Y is getting out of the car. So I plummeted to my death from the helicopter because I was trying to switch weapons. So that was good for a laugh, too. And I believe that's my list.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, my list, I'll make it quick. Of course, Torchlight, Trench, we already talked about those. Lara Croft, Guardian of Light. Dabbled in the Space Marine 40,000 demo. And, you know, this was a game that came out to Xbox Live Arcade kind of unceremoniously. And I was excited for it, though. I knew about it. Twin stick shooter. It's a good universe. I was pretty pumped for it. And then I found out, much like Deadblock, this game, or exactly like Deadblock, does not have online co-op. And yet the game is absolutely from the outset you know, they talk about it being a co-op game, and it's just local co-op. I don't get how, why any developer would think that is a smart decision, especially for a game going to Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. I was looking at it because I saw a few people who had been playing it, and I was like, all right, a few of my friends have it. I'll pick it up. We'll do some co-op. And it says right there on the little download screen, co-op, local. And I was just, why?
Yeah.
You know, there's this, like you said, it's on Xbox Live Arcade, which people pay money to be able to play games online on Xbox Live. And so you're going to give me a game on Xbox Live that I can't play online. So it just doesn't make any sense to me.
No. So it you know, as is, it was 800 points. It's not that expensive in the big grand scheme of things for the game that it is. I would have paid 800 points had it had the online co-op. But you know, and now I'm kind of like, well, if it goes on sale, I might pick it up. But you know, they lost a sale. Plain and simple.
Two sales,
probably more. Last game on the list, I got back into some Blops. Fired up the old Black Ops, and a friend of mine, Roush Stage 3, is going to be having shoulder surgery, and so he kept talking to me about, come on, play some Blops with me, and you know, get the Annihilation map pack. So I caved in, I bought the new map pack, and I'm pretty impressed. I'm really enjoying the new map pack. So, you know, Call of Duty, they keep firing and churning out games, and every time you think, I'm done, I'm not going to play it anymore, I'm done with it, it sucks you back in. It's good fun.
You know, I had the opposite experience. When Black Ops came out, I said, I'm done, I'm not buying it, and I didn't.
Well, you are a man of good character and moral upright, whatever you want to call it, and I apparently am not. I just gave it.
I don't think it's really any of that.
No, it's not.
I just suck at Call of Duty.
No.
That's really what it's
about. Yeah. And also, I mean, let's face it, you really don't have any morals and your character's not that good. All right.
It's true.
It's time. I think we're done with what we've been playing. Why don't we jump into some new releases? All right. So new releases this week on the Wii. A plethora of games. Okay, not really. Captain America Super Soldier. Yeah, Captain America. I hear the enthusiasm from all of you guys is crazy right now. I know you're all just churning at the bit. I actually looking forward to this game. Telling you right now, Gamefly is sending me the Xbox version.
How does one churn at the bit, Greg?
I don't know. Just let it go.
Curious.
Let it go.
I can't.
You've got to.
Because I can't.
Just Dance Summer Party is coming out, Chris. Or...
That I'm really excited about.
Oh, this is the one, and totally. This makes me sad that Richard Primrose is not here for this, because on the Wii, the Smurfs Dance Party out this
week. Wasn't he a consultant to the developers on that game?
I think he may have been. He very well may have been. At least he should have been.
That's what he's tonight. He's at the launch party.
Okay, on the PS3, and this is actually a real big list. On the retail shelves, we've got Call of War as the Cartel, Captain America Super Soldier. On the PSN front, a bunch of download titles, Baseball Stars 2, Fast Draw Showdown, The King of Fighters 95, and Limbo coming out to PSN.
That's
exciting. Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that, Marcanix?
Better late than never.
You know, I think it's going to do just fine. It's a good game. If you haven't played it on the Xbox Live Arcade and you've got a PS3, check it out. It is definitely worth the look. On the minis front, Angry Birds coming to the PS3. No pricing announced yet on it, but it's making its way out to the PS3. Athena, Guerrilla War, HAL 21, Akari Warriors, Marvin's Maze, Me Monster, Hear Me Roar, Ozma Wars, Suzuki vs. Commander, and Vanguard. All on the minis front. Looks like Sony stepping up their game a little bit on the indie side. And on the demos front, you've got a free Deadblock demo and a Limbo demo. So go check them out. And then DLC stuff. Gosh, all kinds of stuff coming out. Castlevania Lords of Shadow Resurrection, Dynasty Warriors 7 Original Costume Pack 1, Yeah. Which means there's going to be others. Fallout New Vegas, Old World Blues, and Mortal Kombat Reign. And last but not least, Wizardry, Labyrinth of Lost Souls, Red Shadow of the Sister. Yes, that is in fact the title of that DLC. Moving on to the Xbox. We've got Call of Juarez, The Cartel, and Captain America Super Soldier on retail shelves. Bastion hits Xbox Live Arcade this week. I highly recommend everybody go check that out tomorrow when it comes out Wednesday, because it is, from everything I'm reading, going to be a fantastic game. DLC front, you got some Dance Central songs, Fallout New Vegas, The Old World Blues, and Mortal Kombat Reign. And deal of the week, there's a little bit going on there. Mike alluded to it last week. GTA 4, The Lost and Damned, The Ballad of Gay Tony, all on sale, as well as Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. All for 800 Microsoft points, with the exception of The Lost and Damned, which is now 400 points, if in fact you are a gold member. So cheap stuff there. Go check it out.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Good DLC as well. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I have The Lost and Damned. I never did The Ballad of Gay Tony. I'm not sure I'm gonna, but who knows? Maybe. Mike really said it was good, so I'm tempted.
I tried to go back and play it, but again, after playing Red Dead Redemption, it's hard for me to go back to GTA 4, because even though Red Dead Redemption seems kind of loose with the controls, it's very crisp compared to GTA 4.
You weren't stood there whistling for your car, were you?
I was, actually, several times. It was terrible.
Yeah, so outside of the DLC deals, I think Bastion really is probably the biggest title coming out this week. I don't know. I'm not terribly excited for Call of Juarez, The Cartel, or... I mean, well, I'm kind of excited for Captain America, but that's the movie, not so much the game. I don't know. Anybody think there's anything better? Well, maybe Smurf Dance Party. There you go. Never mind. That is the game of the week. That is the recommendation. Smurf Dance.
Done.
All right. That's it for new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, so news. Let's talk some news. Some quick hits. So in case you don't know, there should be a system update coming to your Xbox 360 this Tuesday. The downside to it, kind of nothing going on. It no real immediate features are being revealed on it, so it's kind of a system update to prepare for the update.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they kind of have to do it, but, you know, when you see that system update, you kind of want to see something, right?
Yeah, like a whole new dash.
That's always nice. That's always nice. You know what else is nice? Voltron. Who here is a big Voltron fan? Come on.
I was when I was a kid. I was into Voltron. I had the toys and I watched the show. Yeah.
Right. Now you
Four can... He-Man.
What? Shut up.
I've never heard of it.
You guys are in for a treat. Voltron, Defender of the Universe, coming to Xbox Voltron, Live Arcade and PSN Defender, this October.
The Universe.
Yeah. It's going to take up all your time. It's going to substitute. You're not even going to want to play Gears of War 3. You're not even going to want to play Skyrim. Voltron will take over your time.
I think that might be a stretch, Greg.
It's possible.
But I'm going to back you up.
Okay. Now. Also coming to an arcade near you, most likely PSN, Rochard. And Mr. Matthew, you were talking about this side-scrolling platformer with gravity gun.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for it. It looks pretty cool. It's a PSN exclusive, and it's coming out sometime this summer. I don't know the exact release date, but it's called Rochard. Basically, that's the name of the main character, Rochard, and he and his buddies are asteroid miners sometime in the future. And their asteroid mining outfit comes under attack, and he's the only one that escapes the attack, and he's got to save the day with his gravity gun. It looks pretty cool because you use the gun to manipulate the environment, not only moving objects around, but also you can change the gravity around you. So sometimes you need to make a big jump. You can change the gravity local to where you are and make a big jump or make enemies fall faster than they thought they were supposed to fall and stuff. So it looked interesting. So I'll check it out when it comes out to the PSN.
Yeah. Sounds a bit Braid-ish.
I was going to say it sounds kind of Red Faction-ish.
So I want to say, I'm probably lying, but I remember something about Braid in the thing. Maybe it's from the people who made Braid. I don't know.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
What are the latest rumors, Greg? Are there any rumors flying around?
There are some rumors flying around. Nice segue, Rich. Nice. Avatar Connect, supposedly coming on July 27th. For those of you that were excited for this, I guess you can get excited. I am kind of holding my breath on this because apparently it's going to be part of Kinect Fun Labs. It's not actually going to be a part of like the normal dashboard, something easily launched. You're going to have to go into Kinect Labs first, launch it from there. So, I don't know. It'll be something to play around with, I guess. But
just that thing where you can get like 8 people in like a party thing, we all sit down round a table thing.
Yeah.
You all look like you're in an Alcoholics Anonymous session.
Exactly. This is the new AA forum. Please state your name and announce that you're an alcoholic. All right. Also, this is a little bit of sad news for anybody that was wanting to play El Shaddai this month. You're going to have to wait a little bit longer. It's been delayed officially until August 16th. No reasons were given why, but been
I heard it's because the lead designer's dog ran over someone's cat while driving a car, which was stolen from the woman who used to work at the cash register place where they buy food for the guy who works round the corner in the pub where they all drink.
Well, there you go. Whatever Rich just said, sure, that works just fine. And last but not least, not a real big surprise here, Sony experimenting around with virtual reality games. So this actually, to me, not such a bad thing. I mean, we all kind of have balked a little bit about 3D glasses and having to wear them to play, you know, a 3D TV. But would you guys be opposed to having a set of virtual reality glasses that you put on and you actually play the game through the VR glasses?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. Apparently, it's not such a good thing.
I thought that craze kind of went and left in the 90s. Like, it was
like the 90s.
So
1990s, isn't it?
Like all good fashion statements. Things come full circle, guys. They come full circle. Just like 3D, virtual reality coming back around.
That and bell bottoms, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you had the screen technology from Sony that was shown off, was it a year ago at CES, where they could actually roll up this really thin filmed, you know, it was actually a monitor. You know, if you can do that, that might lend itself well to a nice pair of virtual reality glasses that literally wrapped right around you and gave you a better peripheral vision. But I don't know. It's the future, man. It's the future. Come on. All right.
I've seen the future, and it will be.
Moving on. It's going to be NPDs we're talking about next. Mark Annex, given you're absolutely, you know, Mr. USA, I'll let that just wash over. No, but if you would be so kind, go through the NPD numbers for June. And, of course, these are the North American sales numbers from the NPD group.
Yeah, at number 10, you're trying to catch up on the UK sales there, is Just Dance 2 on the Wii. At number 9, a new release just to coincide with a movie is Cars 2. That's on all platforms, Nintendo, DS, Wii, 360, PS3 and the PC. At number 8, we've got Mortal Kombat 2011 on the PS3 and 360. At number 7... we've got NBA 2K11 on all platforms again. Number 6, making another return. It's been in there for quite some time now, since last November, is Call of Duty Black Ops. And again, that's on all platforms.
Still selling strong.
Yeah, people are still buying it. We're still making millions. Number 5 is the release of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D on the 3DS. So that's not doing too bad, really, to say it's only on one platform.
Steve Conger special.
Yeah. Have you, just off a side note, have you seen, do you guys have a TV advert with Robin Williams in it? What he called
I love it.
Daughter Zelda. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not.
Oh, it's good. We'll have to send you a YouTube link for that.
His daughter's named after Zelda, the game yeah. Zelda.
And she says, are you talking about the game again or me? And he says, well, you're both princesses in my eyes. Anyway, back to the MP Geeks. At number four, we've got Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. And that's, again, on all platforms, which I still need to play that because I love Lego games. Number three is Infamous 2 on the PS3. I wonder if the freebie of Infamous helped boost sales of that. I'm not sure.
You know, I think kind of just it being really, there wasn't any big releases out other than it. I think that probably helped it out a little bit, but yeah. I don't think any of the sales were really crazy this month.
No. At number two is Duke Nukem Forever on 360, PS3, and PC.
Kind of surprising that did so well, all things considered. Yeah. I mean, all the crap it took, I mean, nobody really liked that game from the press. You know, it still managed to sell well and still has people like Mike Chinn playing it.
Yeah, well, we found out someone else is playing that tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the name, I think. If you played Duke Nukem in the 90s and now there's a new one, you're like, well, I got to play it.
Or do you think it's the boob factor?
It could be that. It could be that, especially in the case of Mike Chinn.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the draw there.
He'll come back and next week and he'll say, I was playing it for a bet. Or, dared me to play it.
I actually sent him an Xbox Live message when I saw him playing it, just giving him some grief. I was like, come on, man, after all the crap we talked about that game. And his response was, it's a game you got to try. I'm renting it. So I guess what that means is to keep his journalistic integrity. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, to keep his journalistic integrity, he had to try it out, but he didn't want to pay for it.
Now, that's funny, Chris, because when I sent him the message, similar in vain, his message response back to me was just, boobs.
perhaps he realizes that, that's really the draw, and he's hoping that you'll join him. I don't know.
All right, Mark Canix, finish it out.
Yeah, the number one MPD for June 2011 is L.A. Noire on the 360 and PS3.
A game probably deserving of a top spot.
You know, it is, I guess, but at the same time, this surprises me because we've kind of talked about how there's very little replay value in it. So I guess there's a lot of people playing it for the first time with the price drops because it did drop in price quickly.
I think
it was out like 2 weeks, then it was already down to $40 here on Amazon and Best Buy.
Which angered me a little bit, but I guess you could be right. I mean, it certainly is a good game, but you're right. There really is a certain lack of replayability to it. But, being it's the slow time, it's one of the only really big games out right now, and it's getting high marks, so.
Yeah. But it was a good game. I put up a question on the forum after I finished the last DLC. I just sort of asked the community, do you want more L.A. Noire DLC or have you had enough? And I tried not to temper that question with my answer. And interestingly enough, I got two answers back from the community. And one was, yes, more, can't get enough. And the other was, no, I've had enough. It's all very much the same. So I thought that was kind of interesting because it is sort of like there's only so much they can do with that game mechanic.
Yeah. You know,
it's all sort of, all right, let's go look at this crime scene, chase a guy, ask some questions, you know.
Kind of one of the bigger problems, and I won't give any story away here, so no spoilers, but the bigger problem they face, Chris, is that the DLC has to be implemented into the story. As opposed to being on its own.
Yeah, no, and, I see. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people aren't, you know, once you're done with the game, it's kind of, you don't necessarily really want to go back into into the game, so to speak, to play DLC.
Yeah. That was kind of my feeling is they kind of wrapped up the narrative and did so quite well, I thought.
They did.
And now the DLCs kind of have you sticking back in there, you know, kind of already knowing the end.
Right.
So, yeah. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
I was just saying, is there any particular reason why they do that? Because, like, with GTA 4, when you buy the DLC, you've got an option at the load screen to choose which one you want to do, and you can actually play the DLC without knowing anything about the main game.
The DLCs are just extra cases for Colton.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, you're still playing as the same character. So that one of the things I said was if they really wanted to keep the DLC going, they needed to have, you know, play as different characters.
Maybe a dodgy cop.
They could have done that. They really could have pulled that off, but I think what they would have needed to do, they absolutely would have needed to do, is actually create a section in the main menu that would have allowed for kind of DLC as a separate starting point type thing.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they really gave that too much forethought in terms of how they developed it.
Yeah. So the two responses, one was from Pudlight or Mark, and he says he's had enough. Loved the first playthrough, but when I went back and played the first DLC case, it just wasn't the same. Didn't enjoy as much because when the cases fit into a bigger story. And that was part of the problem I had with the DLC is they were all very much separate on their own events. They didn't kind of build into the narrative on, you know, the whole narrative. But then Cybernaut, Chris says, I'd love more DLC. Been watching a lot of noir films lately. Really enjoy the whole feel and atmosphere of the game. Apparently, he is reporting that a Rockstar spokesman recently said the game was not yet complete. Apparently, they cut 2 full discs from the final game because of a lack of disk space. 2 full desks. Robbery and fraud desk. So maybe there'll be more of those coming. I don't know. But I kind of felt like they did a good job of closing up the narrative, and then they stick you back into it, and it doesn't fit very well. So we'll see if any more comes out. I'll probably play it anyway, because by the time it comes out, maybe I'll be ready for more. I don't know.
All right. And not to completely sidetracked there. Marcanix, I think you were talking MPDs.
Yeah, that was the end of the MPDs, Greg.
Was it really?
On software, yeah.
On software.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that was number
one. On hardware.
One.
Xbox wins, yeah!
Yeah, Xbox.
Yeah. So, yeah, on hardware, in sort of like last place, if you can call it last place, is a DS. They sold 386,000 units. It isn't last place. Greg's not got these in order.
No, they are not in order. They're just by platform. So, yeah. You know, there's no winners and losers in the hardware side. Come on.
But, the only winners and losers are people that don't have these yet.
Yeah, I'm surprised the DS is outselling the 3DS because that 3DS only sold 143,000.
Yeah, I think the 3DS is in a lot of trouble. I think it's going to take Nintendo, in a sense, kind of killing off the DS, which they're never going to do, to really help move the 3DS.
They really tried pushing it at E3 as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but the big problem I had with the 3DS, I tried it out at Best Buy. They had a display model out. I just picked it up and tried it. And you have to hold it just so in order for the 3D sort of effect to take place.
Right.
And I think another limitation of it is when you think of something being in 3D, you think of something very sort of immersive. It's going to grab you and pull you into this environment. And you have a really hard time doing that with a 3.5-inch screen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's why Sony says virtual reality, Chris. Virtual reality. It's coming.
I know, Greg. I know.
All right, Mark, keep going.
The Wii sold 273,000 units, so that's still on the decline as well. Yeah. The PS3, 276,000 units. That's extrapolated. I don't think Sony like giving their numbers out, do they?
No, they don't. They don't like giving it out, but the good people at NeoGAF have a way of figuring things out. And based on commentary from, I think, Microsoft on how they basically had nearly doubled or nearly sold as much as the other two combined with the Wii numbers also in tow, and then the percentage that was given out, they were able to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, talking of Microsoft, the Xbox 360, they sold a whopping, unbelievable 507,000 units.
Yeah, those are holiday numbers.
Yep, and that's for June, summertime. So that's really good.
That's LA Noir, that.
I think the big factor there is Microsoft shrewdly has announced a promotion right now in the U.S. And they're doing it with Best Buy, I think, Dell, and I think just the Microsoft store itself, possibly Amazon. But basically you buy a Microsoft Windows 7-based laptop of $700 or more, and you get a free Xbox 360 with it.
Oh, wow.
And when they ring you up at the register, I guess it actually gets rung up. Both actually have dollar values associated to them. They just discount them out to where basically the Xbox is free. Yeah.
Is that for anyone? Because when I was in the store, it was students.
It was a student. Yeah, it's a student promotion. I apologize. You're right. It is a student promotion. So you have to have some kind of student credentials to do it. But this sale is going to be going on from now until September.
I asked the question if teachers could do it. And they just kind of looked at me funny. So apparently teachers aren't supposed to be playing Xbox.
Oh, do you
get
have
out
a,
of here, old man.
Do you have a student ID? That's the question, Chris.
Not anymore. It's expired.
You have to
maybe. What about teacher credentials?
Well, that's what I asked them. I asked them if it was good to go for teachers, and they just kind of looked at me funny. I'm going to have to go back and speak to someone in the store above the age of 15.
Yeah, I think you should just go in with your teacher credentials and just show it and just be like, no, I go to school there.
Just go in full uniform.
Yeah, go in with one of your hand grenades.
Ah, yeah, there we go. That would not cause any interest from the police.
No, not at all. But that's a great promotion. I mean, if you're in the market for a laptop, definitely take a look and give it consideration, especially if you're a student. I mean, you really can't go wrong there. All right. So now it's time. We're gonna move into some indie game discussion. So this really kind of was spurred on by our community question, which we'll get to after the break. But, you know, a large part, you know, Xbox Live Arcade games, PSN games, they've all been playing a much bigger part in our playlist of late. And a lot of these games, you know, kind of have base roots with indie developers. And so I thought it would be kind of interesting for us to discuss indie games this week. And it just so happens we had a few indie game-based kind of stories come about too. So Gameloft, too, they're not necessarily an indie developer, but they kind of have an indie feel to them, if you will, because they make the smaller, you know, bite-sized games and a lot of arcade titles. You know, one of the kind of the questions to throw out there is, you know, why would you want to be an indie developer? Why would you want to go that route when you could be working for these big companies? And it's this story and things like, you know, a similar story from Team Bondi in terms of the working conditions, I think kind of lend themselves to some people saying, I'm going to go off on my own and just do my own thing. So just to kind of cover over the story itself. Gameloft, basically, a former head of studio programmer, it was calling work conditions dangerous and basically said that, you know, the studio employees were contractually required to work any reasonable hours requested of them. However, the definition of reasonable hours can be reportedly be changed by senior management at any time. That to me, and I don't know about you guys, but that to me just doesn't seem quite right. You know, the definition of reasonable hours should, you know, basically be spelled out, which apparently was to work a 12 to 14 hour day. But then they would create these false deadlines and, you know, basically force them into unneeded overtime just to kind of push these games out. I think these are, you know, some of the reasons why people are looking to go indie. I don't know. Do you think this is a problem in the industry? And maybe I'm getting a little sidetracked because of the story, and we know the story's been around, you know, especially with like Team Bondi and the LA Noir stuff. But do you think this is going to lead to maybe an upswing in indie developers as developers kind of get burnt out with these big studios? So, Rich, I'm going to throw it over to you first.
I think, to be honest, I don't think it's a massive problem. You know, I think it's just a couple of instances, a couple of companies maybe do it.
Okay.
But I think, but with that said, I know that they do work long hours and stuff, and I suppose a lot of them, especially if they're talented programmers and stuff, might think to themselves, you know, why not try it on my own? I know of a few people that I don't know them personally, but, you know, everyone knows everyone on the internet these days, don't they? Oh, I know someone who sort of left and formed their own company and did all right. Like, for example, the Fortress Craft fella, he sold, well, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm sure it's close to 1 million. At 240 Microsoft points each, that's a lot of money. He used to work on the Burnout games.
Okay. So, again, he worked on the Burnout under the EA flag?
I think so, because I remember reading about him, and he said that he left a bug in one of the Burnout games on the PS2 where if all 8 people did Burnout at the same time online, everyone's game would crash.
Great, that's such a nice bug to leave in the game. but it's interesting that he's coming from an Electronic Arts background. And Electronic Arts, formerly one of those companies that also was kind of, you know, on the hook for having some unreasonable work hours and being, you know, kind of, I think if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it the game developers' wives were complaining about a lot of EA employees having to work these crazy hours? Mm-hmm. So maybe there is a little bit of credence there. We'll shift gears, and Marcanix and Chris, I'll get you guys involved in the next area, which is, you know, the second part to it is on the indie side, though, you know, everybody wants to be on Xbox Live Arcade or PSN, but the realities are there's a long kind of line to get on there. Interview with Microsoft's Ted Woosley just came out, and he was talking about Xbox Live Arcade and how basically, you know, there's around 50 different Xbox Live Arcade games in development now, and about 30 are being pushed in a given year. So it seems like that's a tough market to get into. And so, you know, as an indie game, you know, or as a game developer, you kind of might have to go self-publish and take it upon yourself to do that. And do you think maybe that's another area that's kind of leading to maybe an upsurge in indie development? So, Mark, I'll take you first.
And linking slightly on the other subject, I think with the current sort of like financial climate we've got in sort of like today's world, because of the sort of like restraints they've got on the costs, that's why the sort of like people, these developers are cracking the whip more, trying to get these games out. So these guys are good thinking they want a slice of a pie, and they want to sort of like set up on their own. But it's hard for them to do that because you need to know the people. If you know the right people, then it helps getting into the sort of like setting up your own business and trying to sell your product. It's okay making a product, but you've got to shift it. And if you don't have them contacts, then you're going to struggle.
True. And maybe it's worth noting. I mean, it does seem like a lot of the indie game developers of late are spin-offs. They've used to work at studios, bigger studios, and they've now spun off into kind of their own little indie development group, whether it be from layoffs or, you know, studio closures, you know, whatever the case may be, unreasonable working conditions, you know. So they do kind of have some of those, I know somebody who knows somebody kind of contacts.
Yeah.
But okay, I think Chris may have stepped away. I could be wrong, but I think he may have stepped away due to a coughing fit. So, okay, I thought I heard you coughing away in the background.
Oh, no. No, that was that's upstairs.
Okay.
The cold is all over the house.
Spreading like wildfire.
It happens.
Yeah, so, I mean, Chris, I guess, you know, I don't know if you have any anything you want to add in there on the kind of the indie side in terms of why somebody might be looking to go indie. I mean, I guess some of the answers are pretty obvious. You'd be your own boss. But
well, there's that. And I think – so I kind of view indie games as kind of the iTunes, you know, the App Store or the Android Store of the Xbox. You know, there's all kinds of stuff on there, and you got to really weed through it to find the gems.
Right.
And maybe that's why people want to go that route, because it's I don't know how difficult it is to take, say, an iOS game and port it over to Android and port that over to XNA. But, it, you know, you can hit a lot more people that way. You know, you talk about self-publishing, so you can just sort of put it out there and you know, cast a wide net, as it were. You don't have to have all that ad money and all that other kind of stuff. So maybe that's one of the reasons they do that. I don't know.
Indie games do quite well on Steam as well. A lot of people forget Steam have got indie games. One of the most popular, I think it was last year or it could have been this year, I don't know. It was Amnesia, you know, and it got a lot of press because it was so fantastic, really. Even Yahtzee did a review about it.
You know, and it's interesting you bring up Steam, Rich, because I think there's kind of, there's almost, in a way, kind of three definitions of indie games out there. And, you know, I think as, you know, primarily being Xbox 360 users on a whole, we kind of get this mindset of indie games are all about the Xbox Live Arcade indie market. But really, you also have, of course, PC indie games that are popping up on, you know, services like Steam, where, you know, they're, you know, basically these, you know, bite-sized or smaller chunk games that are well-made. They're not being limited like they are with, say, Xbox Live Arcade, which definitely puts a memory size limit on how big the indie game can be. You know, the developers have a little more freedom on the PC side. And then you also have kind of, you know, they're indie game developers in that they're self-publishing their games. And these are people like the developer that just did The Witcher 2. They actually self-published over in Europe. And then I forgot who they got to pick up. I think it was Atari. They got to pick it up for the U.S. release. But, you know, you could make the argument that they are also an indie developer. They're making the game. They're publishing it themselves. And it's a big game. It's a big title, and it's well done. And I'm wondering if we're going to maybe see a little bit more of those kind of, you know, developers kind of coming about. They're trying to get away from these big publishing partnerships and just do it themselves to save themselves some money.
Well, yeah, I mean, even big companies, quite a few of them publish their own games. You know, they cut out the middleman. Early game, like Bethesda, for example, they publish their own games.
Right.
They do it themselves. I think you're also forgetting, like Chris brought up, iPhone games. I know a lot of big companies like EA. Like I played Battlefield Bad Company 2 on my iPhone the other day. But there's also like Angry Birds, complete indie game.
Yep. You know?
Cut the Rope is another one.
The phones are littered with indie games.
And littered with millionaires. You know, maybe not millionaires, but rich people.
People are making money off those games.
Yeah.
Didn't I read somewhere that, talking of Game Loft earlier, are they buying PopCap games?
That is EA. EA
and
bought
they've done it.
PopCap.
Is it?
Yes. They bought PopCap for $750 million, I believe. But it could escalate if all their clauses and bonuses kick in to like $1.3 million over the first few years. So it is quite the big deal.
But with their games, they'll just be printing money anyway.
Yeah.
They will literally just print money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PopCap is good like that. Yeah. All right. We're going to take the show break right now. And then when we come back, we're going to hit the community mailbag. And we'll dive into the question of the week. And that was, and we'll just kind of reiterate right now, it was that what makes a good indie game? And what would it take for an indie game to get you to buy it and make it successful? So we will hit that question when we come back from the break.
Found out. Ken is big now. He was a rage quitter, a temper tantrum, yeah. It took him so long to drop out, but he dropped out.
Enemy mortar team spotted, take cover.
Why the f*** isn't my team covering me? You guys suck. That was so cheap. That was so f***ing cheap. I can't see that. It's not so funny when I got the new tube. Take that, you f***. He's a hacker. He's a f***ing hacker. You see that? Dude, who's the f***ing admin here? Kick that f*** out. Ah! Who the f*** did that?
Mission failed. This one's over.
Through his controller, we saw it fly from his hands. Controller, I wonder where it will land now. He was a rage quitter, angry baby, yeah. It took him so long to lash out, but he lashed out.
If I was at home, I'd be totally kicking your ass. My ping sucks. I'm at my grandmother's house, and her internet sucks ass. The guy's just using the cheapest kills in the whole game. It's either, like, the claymore or the tube, you know, I mean... Oh, what the... Who the f*** did that?
Rage quitter.
Dude, you're such a f*** piece of s***.
Rage quitter, yeah.
You f***. Dude, admit it.
Rage quitter.
I didn't pay $60 for this f*** game to deal with this f***.
Rage quitter,
bullshit.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm gonna come over to your house and rage shove that controller right up your ass. Dude, you take this game way too f***ing seriously.
All right, so we are back from the break, and well, we lost somebody. Literally, we were walking along, and Rich Webster disappeared on us.
It's a dangerous thing, podcasting. Sometimes people just don't make it.
I know.
He didn't make it.
He didn't. He didn't.
I'm really worried. No, don't lose me, please.
No. Once we realized we lost Rich, we all secured lines to one another's belt loops, and I think we're safe to navigate the waters. God, that sounded geeky. All right, let's finish up the community mailbag.
Lame.
Yeah, what makes a good indie game? What would it take for an indie game to get you to buy it and make it successful? So, Chris, why don't we start with you? What is it for you that makes an indie game good, worth it, successful? Talk to me.
So this is a strange question.
Well, it was given to us by Aaron Stevens, so you can blame him for the strangeness if you really find it strange.
I will blame him for the strangeness. But regardless, you know, what makes a good indie game, I think, is really the same thing that makes a good any game. Is it fun? Does it have some sort of compelling reason for me to come back to it, whether it's coming back to it to find the next awesome bit of loot, or it's got a compelling storyline, or it's got some kind of leaderboard that I've got to try to get to the top of, which I would never do, so don't worry about that. You know, that kind of thing. Now, the fact that you have to do it on a sort of smaller budget, bandwidth-wise, you know, makes it challenging. You know, you can't make it pretty. I think what draws us to a lot of full retail titles is that they're pretty. You know,
right.
They've got all the 3D graphics power horse things going on there. So it's a little bit harder with the indie game. But I don't know that what makes a good indie game is any different than what makes a good regular game. It's, in the end, it's got to be fun. There's a lot of not AAA, but there's a lot of full retail disc titles out there that look really nice, but they're not a whole lot of fun to play, so they don't really last.
Okay. No, that's fair. Mark, being somebody that – I mean, I can count on my – one finger, how many indie games – actually, no, I can't. How many indie games you've bought, what would it take to get you to buy an indie game? Because, I mean, unless something's changed, you have yet to ever buy an indie game, correct?
Yeah, I've not actually bought one yet. I've played a couple of trials when I've heard the sort of recommendations on various podcasts. But for me, it's a bit of a personal thing as well because, as you probably aware from a previous email, I've got quite a large pile of shame. So I'm trying to restrict how many games I do buy because my gaming time's so limited. But if something comes along what's really going to grab my attention, I might pick it up. But another thing what I feel they really, really need to help sell them is achievements. If they had achievements, I'd be probably more inclined to buy them.
Yeah, especially on like Xbox Live Arcade, it certainly kind of makes indie games feel like the little stepbrother that doesn't fit in because they don't have achievements. I mean, it's not a game until it has achievements.
Yeah. But they're allowed to use avatars now, aren't they? So why can't they have, say, just like 50 points or 100 points limit? It's not difficult to add them.
Well, we were talking last week about with the increase in the size of XBLA games, you know, the XBLA games now are up to 2 gigabytes, I think.
Right.
And a lot of them are a lot bigger than they used to be in terms of content. Why not up the achievement limit for XBLA games to 300 or 400 and then let the indie games do, 100 points or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But there's a lot of people out there who aren't that bothered about achievements. So, like I said, it's more of a personal thing that.
I don't think you're alone in that thought process, though. I don't think you are.
No. Going to the achievements being linked to the size of the games or something along that line, I almost kind of think maybe they should be linking the amount of achievements, available in the game to price.
Yeah,
because we have some
cost here.
Yeah, we have some clearly defined costs, especially on the arcade side. Full retail games get, full 1,000 points, but, we have games that are anywhere from 15 to 20 bucks now appearing up on Xbox Live Arcade. I would think, you could structure price points and then, kind of go from there. Point levels. For me, indie games, definitely it's kind of a perceived value. I bought like Game Dev Story on my phone, bought it, didn't even really give it a second thought because I was so intrigued by the concept and the idea, and for just a couple bucks, it was a total non-thought buy. I just, said buy it, no big deal, just a couple bucks. But for whatever reason, and maybe this is where Microsoft points actually hurt indie developers. For whatever reason, the perception of points now seems like it's a bigger cost. I see 80 points or 240 points, and in my head, I'm like, oh, that's a lot of points for an indie game that doesn't have achievements. Really, I'm talking about a dollar. I'm talking about, a couple bucks here and there. So I almost wonder if maybe that's kind of something that they need to address. Maybe indie games also should be shown in real dollars instead of points, and that might help them out as well.
That's a good point, because I bought some games on my iPad that I was like, well, I don't know if this is going to be any good or not, but it's $1.99, so I'll give it a try.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up the iPad and iPhone scenario, because I've picked up quite a few little games on my phone and my iPad, and the indie developers, what they could do on the Xbox is use sort of like the business model that some of the games on the iOS do, whereas the game's actually free, but you can buy sort of like microtransactions in the game. I've just downloaded a little mini game called Tiny Tower. It's just a simple little game where you have to build your tower and get like little people to move into apartments. You have to have stores and they have to give them jobs. But to speed things up, you have to buy tower books with real money, or you can just let the timer tick away and it takes a few hours. So they could even try implement something like that. Give a free game, and if you want to speed things up, spend 10, 20 points here or there. It might be an idea to shift some games.
No, it definitely could be a reasonable way to approach it.
Yeah.
I think something definitely needs to be done, though, for the indie scene. It's great that Microsoft supports it, and it's great to hear that Sony wants to support it more. But I still feel like the way it's being approached, at least right now, it's still kind of a gimped system, and they haven't found a way. And I don't even know that Steam has truly found a way to get indie games selling like we're seeing them sell on iPhones and, you know, the Google phones. I don't know. It's going to take some doing. It's going to take some real thought. Speaking of thoughts, or tweets, maybe that's even a better way to put it. We had some people tweet us about this. Now, the first tweet we got was from Andrew Gruhl. Now, this actually came late for last week's show, but I wanted to get it on there. He took the time to tweet us, so I thought, you know what, we could at least give him the courtesy. So he said, in response to last week's question of the week, which is, you know, kind of which game are you vowing to complete? He says, I'm vowing to complete Alan Wake. Get into Singularity. I'm not good with scary games, though. So, Alan Wake. It's a great game. You should definitely finish it. Complete it. It is scary. I'll give you that. It has those moments that'll make you jump, but it's worthwhile. All right. Now, moving on to responses for this week's question. Now, iPete had this to say. He said, I don't think indie game will be a hit until they have achievements. Mark Annex, seems like he's on the same page with you.
Yeah.
Our own Richard Webster had actually tweeted us before he knew he was going to jump onto the show. And he said, well, you know, Fortress Craft has sold hundreds of thousands of copies. I'd call that a success. You know, and he definitely, you know, has something there to be said. And ironically, he had copied at Fortress Craft on his tweet, and they responded to us and said, a good indie or commercial game is worth the money you spent on it. Wise words indeed. So I think that goes back to kind of the value proposition. But we had a bunch of forum responses, and Chris, I gave you the bulk load here. the workload is all on your shoulders. And so what I'm going to say at this point is I'll take some of that for you, Chris. I won't make you share that because you stepped away from the microphone. Unbeknownst to everybody, you just walked away. So, Mark, you and I are going to man the forum responses for now. So you'll take Parsnip's response. I'll start off with the Stickman. Stickman had this to say. He said, I would buy one to help a friend or a friend of a friend. The only indie game I have purchased so far has been Ricochet Assassin, which Pudlight says a guy he knows made it or was involved with it or knows of a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy.
That's quite noble, is that? I'm quite impressed with that.
Yeah, that is pretty noble.
Mm. I've actually done something similar to that, but it was an arcade game. Dana from the website, one of our admins, he helped work on Flock on Xbox Live. I don't know if you remember Flock. And I actually bought that, and I've not finished it yet.
I'm not familiar, I have to admit. Oh, no, wait, I take it back. Flocked. That was the one with the sheep and the UFOs, I think?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Okay.
A bit like a Lemmings-type game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good fun.
Okay. Well, why don't you let us know what Parsnip had to say?
Well, he put exactly the same criteria as any other game, really. It's fun to do. It is fun. I do like it. And if it's good value for money, then he'd buy it. I would be far more likely to buy more indie games if they gave achievements. So.
Okay. Yeah. No, again, somebody echoing your sentiments. Yeah. Achievements are a requirement. Okay, so Greggy had this to say, a simple little one-liner. I would buy one if they were simply any good. And I have to kind of agree with them. There's a lot of crap on the indie game scene, especially on Xbox Live Arcade. You've got these stupid massage ones where it's like, use your controller as a massager. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same, like I talked earlier about the iOS. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of crap games on the App Store.
Maybe that part is partly the problem why the indie game scene doesn't get as much love or attention is because it doesn't have as good a filter system, you know, as Xbox Live Arcade. Maybe they need to have some kind of better controls. And they've got this peer-to-peer system, but it doesn't seem like it works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do know that Thuper had this to say. I do buy indie games, Thuper saying this. at least a dozen I've purchased, and probably at least five have been 240 points or $3. To get me on board, you have to have something that is going to hold my interest longer than the trial period, but the trial period has to be long enough that I can gain an affection for the game that's going to make me want more. That's a good, good point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You don't want the trial. Yeah, you want a good trial that's going to get people hooked. For the majority of the indie games, I get hooked enough that I have to purchase them, but then I don't play them for very long beyond that. But that's the case for a lot of the XBLA games I buy as well. Not to mention all the retail games that I've had to get on sale and then never played or barely played. Usually the criteria that gets me to buy an indie game is I like how they're doing this interesting new thing, or it's got this deceptively addictive gameplay that I want more of, or it's just got fun gameplay. Ones that I've not purchased are ones that are old before the trial period is over, ones that focus on co-op or multiplayer, but I know no one who's buying them, so that's a good point. It's hard to get into multiplayer indie games if not anybody else is buying them that he knows.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I was going to say, it's almost like a useless feature on the indie games.
Maybe. I guess if more people bought them, it wouldn't be.
Right, right. That's – nobody's buying them. Yeah.
More people don't buy them. Yeah. Or the trial period is so short that I can't experience enough of the game to even guess if it will hold my interest at all. Yeah. All good points, Thuber. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Next up, I think it was David the Alien, Mark?
Yeah. David put, never really been inclined to purchase indie games. When searching through the games available, it really seems like finding a needle in the haystack, which is sentiments what Chris was saying earlier. I do have a couple of indie games, but rarely play them. The ones I do have is mainly due to Veteran Gamers Podcast and the Indie Section when they do that on their show. We'll check out them if they are really raving on about them. Then make up my own mind. No real criteria either to what I look for in an indie game. Just has to appeal to me and be fun.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it really, as long as it's fun to you, I suppose you can't ever criticize anybody for buying something if it's fun to them. All right, we had some emails, quite a few emails. Kevin Knight, who graced the presence of the show last week, sent in an email. I said, hi, guys. Hope you're all having a good show. Actually, he said, I hope you're all having a good show. A little question mark there. So maybe we're not. I'd like to say we're not, actually. All right, anyway, says, thank you once again for having me. What?
I'm sorry. Well, you said, yes, we're not. And the question is, do we ever?
Yeah, no, it is a good question. Debated. No, this show has just been a train wreck from the get-go, really, from the outset. Yeah, ever since Chris said he was coming on the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
All right. He says, thank you once again for having me on the podcast last week. It was very enjoyable to have a glimpse behind the scenes of the show. What listeners don't know is that Chinny really does like goats. It's so true. Rich has to ask his wife's permission to come out to play. Greg really should be working, and Chris lives in a broom cupboard.
It's all true.
It's true. Totally all true. But seriously, you guys do a cracking job, especially Mike and Rich staying awake that late. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that, Kevin. So a big thank you to all. As for the question of the week, I usually go on a friend's recommendation to even look at indie games. Only last week I downloaded the Minecraft game Stu was going on about. You know, that Veteran Gamer show. It's an okay site to check out and podcast, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Decided the game wasn't for me, but enjoyed the Soul game that Rich played a few weeks ago and bought that. Kept me amused for an afternoon before it got lost amongst all the arcade games and installs on my hard drive. Right now, I must try and get back to do some work myself. Knight XXL. So, Chris, you have the next huge email. And, Kevin, by the way, thank you very much for the email and coming on the podcast last week. And if you're listening to this still, thank you for just straining yourself through this podcast.
Yes. And I do have the next huge email. It seems you always give me Mr. Petrosky's emails to read. And they usually are quite lengthy and somewhat entertaining. Thankfully, this week is not one of those. Duke Scath merely has to say, well, nothing to say. He says, I have nothing to say this week. Leave me alone, Duke. So, well said. Thank you. And have a nice day.
Done. Boom. Mark, you are next in the queue for emails.
Yeah, we've got an email from David Brown, also known as David the Alien, and an all-round good egg. He's put, good evening, gentlemen. I've lost my gaming mojo a little, only have played Dirt 3, FIFA 11, and yeah, nothing else worth a mention. I think that's my fault for doing the Gamerscore competition. I think he burnt himself out. Sorry. Anyway, he goes on. Answered game of the week, question of the week on the forums. Shout out to Mark Annex, who began work again today. Kudos, buddy. Couldn't have been easy. It wasn't, but I got through it, so thank you for that.
Man, going back to work is never fun.
No, not after you've been off for 5 months.
No.
He carries on. Been having some very successful play dates each Saturday thus far. Big shout out to all those that were there for Dirt 3 this past week. No doubt this week will be huge again with F1 2010 on tap. Shout to the Play Vault guys. They've been doing play dates every Sunday now for a while. A bit early, but he's been having a lot of fun in those, and the past Sunday was no different, and a lot of fun. Yes, I was there for that. It was Forza, and it was a good laugh. A good turnout once more. Again, anyone interested, they are doing Brink play date this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock UK time, 8 a.m. EST, and 5 a.m. PST. Ouch, in brackets.
Yes, that is a big ouch, as in, I will not be there, ouch.
Yeah. I don't think he has a game, so he won't be there anyway. Have a great show, guys, and I have let my podcast listening skills slip in a major way, so in a month's time, I will probably hear this. Hee, hee, hee. David the Alien.
Thanks for that, David. Next up, we had an email from Steve Conger. He snuck it in right at the last minute. It says, salutations, Mofikis? I don't even know how to say that, Steve. But yeah, salutations
sounded
to us. No, nope,
sound
nope.
It out.
Mofikis. Is that good enough for you, Chris?
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Okay. What would it take for me to purchase an indie title? His diatribe goes on. This is about the time that you all sigh. But methinks indie is a rather broad generalization that quite possibly needs to be redefined. I would argue that I bought an indie game in The Witcher 2, as it is developed by CD Projekt Red, then published by them locally, with Atari, THQ, and Namco Bandai handling it in a more global level. One could also draw the line that studios like Insomniac and Bungie have become indie houses, having games published under programs such as EA Partners. You could probably lump Grasshopper Manufacturer in with them too. Discuss. we've been ordered to discuss. No, we were actually talking about that a little bit earlier. I think the definition of an indie developer is kind of a broad stroke. We're seeing a lot of different development houses kind of take a more indie approach and doing some of their own self-publishing. So maybe we need to have a redefinition of what truly an indie game is. Is it a price point? And anything under a price point kind of matches into that indie game? Is it, you know, that they don't have a publisher for their game and that they self-publish it? I think that's probably the closest definition for an indie game developer. I don't know. Anybody want to argue and or put their own twist on that?
Well, yeah, because like with music, your indie music records are sort of like they've got their own record label, they're self, well, not self-published, but they're self sort of like do their own discs, don't they, and put them out right. Their distribution and that. So you can sort of like tie it in with the games, self-distribution and self-developing. And that's how I'd link it.
So maybe that really is the true sense then. You're indie only if you're doing it all yourself. Once you sign that deal with EA, once you sign that deal with THQ, you pretty much take yourself out of indie status because now you have the backing of a big company to push your game forward.
Yeah, I reckon so. But you've got that big, like you say, the backing. They'll do the marketing and everything and they just like take over, don't they?
Yeah, no, very true. Okay, so let's finish off his email here. It says, anyway, I do believe that the lines are either being blurred or the indie umbrella is simply growing. I find myself enjoying a good bit of gaming that UTV Ignition have to offer, who have dealings with great small-time houses like VanillaWare, and even games on Xbox Live Arcade, indie games, PSP Minis, and WiiWare. I think the bottom line for me is that in order for me to purchase an indie title, I primarily need to know that it exists. Whether that's doing podcast interviews or sending review code out to even the smallest of outlets, word of mouth of our experiences sells copies, and then we in turn keep that very chain going. And that's actually a pretty good point. I think indie games by far – out of, you know, all the different genres of games, are best serviced by word of mouth.
Yeah, there's not many podcasts that actually promote them either. So, like some other people have mentioned already, the VG guys doing the indie section on their things, that helps promote the games. And like David, for instance, he's downloaded games just on that sort of like recommendation.
Yeah. Chris, I mean, what do you have anything to add in on the word of mouth aspect?
Well, I think so. If we're going to call an indie game something that doesn't have a big company behind it to help push it out to the people, then yeah, I mean that's how it's got to get out. Someone's got to play it, they got to like it, and then they got to tell two friends, and they got to tell two friends, and they got to, you know, and so on and so on. So yeah, I mean, it's got to be that way, doesn't it? I don't know. How else is it going to happen?
That's, you know what? You pretty much hit the nail on the head there. How else is it going to happen? All right, he finishes out his email. Insert salad tossing here, and that's why I continue to tune in each week. Have a great show, Steve, JSS Lifelike. Thanks for that, Steve. Very thought-provoking email, and again, just showing you know, the whole intelligence factor and bringing it into our show, even when you're not here. We appreciate that. Okay, so that does it for the question of the week. It does it for the question of the week. Community, mailbag, all that good stuff. I can't talk anymore. I'm tired. We do have a question of the week for next week's show. And with the onset of all of the online passes, well, we thought it appropriate to talk about it. So does the online pass, as in the EA, Ubisoft, and Sony passes that have recently come to light, does it make you less inclined to buy a used game? So think about that. Shoot us a response, and we'll talk about it next week. In the meantime, Chris, let's talk some community play dates.
Let's. We have the Friday night races going on, hosted by Betty Bear. Saturday, Formula One 2010 at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, and noon for the Left Coasties. Sunday, the Play Vault is playing Brink at 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is 8 a.m. on the East Coast, and before the sun comes up out in California. So you won't be seeing Greg there, but that's
also,
5 a.m.
I'd like to point out I sold that crap game a while ago.
So you definitely won't be seeing Greg there. Happy birthday to Mike J. 11, Ashen Burn, Bullet, Gamer Girl 27, The Real Defoe, David the Alien, who we previously mentioned, who's turning 135.
Holy smokes, David. You are an old, codgy old man. Wow.
And welcome to the new members, Tejo 1980, Heathen, I believe that 7 is meant to be a T, Lee Jr. 71, and Mr. Sparks, welcome to the forums.
Yes, welcome indeed. And, well, if you want to email the show, Mr. Matthew, what email address should they send an email to?
They should send that email to ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and Markanix, when you are sending tweets to us complaining about one thing or another, where do you usually send that tweet to?
You send a tweet to @OC_podcast. Or if you need to get older Rich personally, you send it to @SmurfHerder.
He'll answer to both. He will. Okay. Certainly, if you have been listening to the show and you feel so inclined, we would love to hear from you on iTunes or even Zune if you happen to use that format. Drop us a review. You know, the more positive, the better. But the more reviews, certainly the more we will move up the list and the more people will see us, which means the more people get to listen to us. And that's about where that whole chain stops. Yeah, shout-outs. So Rich, as he was getting lost, he did shout out to us to say he wanted to shout out Sponge Cake, and he wanted to shout out Duke, Stu, and that other VG dude for the Battlefield 1942 playdate. Lots of fun. Thanks, dudes. And
1942?
1942.
Like old school.
Yeah, old school.
Not the XBLA 1943.
Apparently. Or nice. It could be an error, and it could have been 1943, but he put 1942. We will never know now because Rich is lost to us.
He's dead to us.
Chris, why don't you go next? Shout-outs.
Why don't I? I'd like to shout out Rich and Mark for being here. Rich and Mike for not being here, although Rich only gets a three-quarters of a shout because he was only here for half the show. Everyone who played Red Dead Redemption with me while I was trying to finish it, thank you. I'm now finished. David the Alien for hooking me up with Dirt 2 on loan, and also for losing his Facebook account for not using his real name. His Facebook name is David MUFC Brown, and apparently MUFC is not his legal middle name. So he lost. Apparently, he got his Facebook account suspended because they thought he was
back on now.
They thought he was a terrorizer.
His middle name now is now Man United FC. His middle name now,
of course, because that's what any parent would name their child.
Absolutely.
That's me. So how about Mark? How about your shouts?
I'm also shouting out David the Alien, but for a different reason. He's playing football tonight, or as you Americans would say, soccer. And he's playing in 95 degree heat. So I wouldn't want to see his kit afterwards. You'll better wring it out, I think. Also, a big shout out to everyone who played Dirt 3 with me and the other guys at the weekend. And the VG, the Play Vault guys for Forza 3 on Sunday. Over to you, Greg.
Okay. I'm going to shout out the U.S. women's soccer team, or football team, as you UK types would say. You know what? Not one fake injury in all of the matches I watched. It was refreshing to see. And I just wanted to applaud them. They put in an excellent effort and just came up a little short in the end. A big happy birthday to my wife, who is having a birthday this week as well. So happy birthday to her. And I will shout out, David, I do not want to see your kit after you've played a match of soccer or football. It's just surprisingly disturbing to my ears. I don't know.
I'm going to just throw this out there. I don't want to see David's kit ever.
Yeah.
Or yours, Greg or Mark, for that matter.
And Chris, I appreciate that. I really do.
I have sympathy for David's washing machine.
Oh, that's what you meant by kit. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
His football kit, his shorts and his t-shirt.
I'm going to leave with a nice little quote. It's from a Minneapolis radio talk show, and they were saying this. Now the police say that this guy was also stalking two female women. Think about it.
We're as done. Opposed to the not female women.
Yes.
I get it.
It's good. I'm glad you do. We're done. We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's why you should have a Mac, because they don't get hacked.
Yeah, I'd love one, but
okay.
They're a bit expensive as well.
Okay.
Who else is gay?
You.
Bum sex? Bum sex.
All depends on who you're doing the bum sex with, if you ask me.
No, it's all gay.
It's all gay?
It's all gay.
Yeah, it should be one way only, that one.
Yeah.
That was a big fuck my life. Yeah.
pretty much. Alright, Rich Reed.
Sorry, it's only another 50 years to go and then we can retire.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good.
That's why you hired me.
Yeah, that's exactly why I hired you, yes.
I'm the plucky comic relief.
Well, Greg's getting value for money. He's getting what he paid for.
That's right. You get what you pay for when you hire co-hosts. All right. Hold on. I'm picking up stuff. I got all the stuff. So I'm at 7. Dude, I'm close. I got 720,000. I got to get to 75600.
All right. Next podcast.
Exit to title. I'm going, dude. Calm down. I'm saving my work. You don't want me to be angry because I didn't save my work.
No, that would be the last thing we would want.
Then I might be forced to kill you or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You'll have to edit that out. We got a pretty good Saturday plan. We're going to go to Home Depot, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. Might not have time.
Yeah.
CP mentioned it earlier. I think some people mentioned it. It's hard, actually.